Meter readers. Who else? Pizza delivery. Man, that's a great one. Pizza delivery. Who else? Utility workers. How about this? Utility disconnect workers. Is that a better source? They're out shutting the power off. You know, maybe the house is already vacant. Yeah, I want to tell you, every time you see a person out there on the street, stop and talk to them. If there's somebody working in a neighborhood, and it's a neighborhood you want to be in, you want to buy and sell in, I'd like to suggest that you stop them, talk to them, let them know who you are, say, here is my business card. I see you in the truck out here. You're out here in the neighborhood all the time.
Larry, are you giving them a finder's fee so that encourages these people to visit?
That's a great point. Am I giving them a finder's fee? Yes and no. In North Carolina, it's illegal to pay somebody a finder's fee if they're not licensed. So in North Carolina, no. Never heard anything about South Carolina, so yes. Okay?
It's illegal there.
Is it illegal there too? Okay, so it's no. As of January? Okay, so in South Carolina it's now no.
Can you just word it differently?
Word it differently? That's a good point.
Take care of you?
I'll take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. Well, listen, here's...
What would be an incentive for them to do that for you?
Here's a couple of things, okay? And I'm going to get to that. But here's the way the courts look at it. Substance over form. That's the way all, you know, that's a legal term. It's whatever it actually is versus what the paperwork says, okay? And it's whatever the intent was, okay? It's whatever the intent was. So what we do is we pay them per lead. You know, every vacant house you see, you give me the address, we give you $5 or $10 or $20 or whatever. We pay for leads. Here is some leads that we get from other people, and we pay $5 a piece from them. We pay $5 for a picture of a house and an address.
What's the difference between finder's fee and leads?
Okay, the reason it's illegal is because if you're basing it on the transaction, they're operating as a real estate agent or salesperson or broker without a license. Now, by paying for the lead, it's not transaction-based. It's just lead generation. That's all it is. It's just lead generation. I'm not paying whether or not the deal closed. But look, all these are pictures of properties. Every one of them that people bring to us. And we just look them up, find out who owns the property. Some of them have already been looked up. Some of them have been contacted. Some of them we've bought. But is that great?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You can just pay for the picture. Now, if I could just get all these back in here.
Are these vacant properties?
Vacant properties. Absolutely. So what we do is we pay per lead. Pay them $5, $10, whatever.
These people mailed you those letters with pictures, trusting you're going to send them $5.
Most of them bring them by. Or we're out and we see them, you know, going out to the house. Yeah, let me go out and look at that one house you sent to me, and I'll meet you out there, and we'll have you a check.
So then, the $5, is that a transaction that you pay them out of your pocket $5, or are you writing something?
Well, we write them a check. We've had people bring, you know, 50, 100, 150 at a time. Oh yeah, we've got one girl. She's riding neighborhoods just looking for houses because it's $5 every time.
Yeah.
You know. $5 every time. And what I do when I pay her, I say I don't want any houses with realtor signs. I don't want any houses with a for sale by owner sign in front of it. Okay? Unless it's vacant and trashed. If it's vacant and trashed, that's okay. But if it's a nice house, nice area, fixed up, got a for sale by owner, I'm not buying that house. For number one, they're too cheap to hire a realtor, so they're not going to discount the price. Okay? And those aren't my kind of houses. I want something I can build some equity in by rehabbing it, okay? But we pay her $5 for a picture of a house with an address. Address is very important, okay? We pay her $10 if she has a phone number. So if she goes back home, looks up the address, finds the owner's name, finds a phone number, she just made an extra $5 for 5 minutes. Is that win-win? Win for both of us. Absolutely. Anybody working Is there anybody that's working the vacant house market right now? Vacant house? Okay. You doing? Is it been pretty successful for you?
Yeah.
You like that?
It has. I go to the house a lot and got some of the people who work for the attorney's office. Now they know me and my other friends. I just live in a small town, but some of the paralegals that do the foreclosure filings know me now and say, hey, did you look at this one house?
That's great. You got them calling you now.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, you do a couple deals, you close with them, you pay cash, you close fast. They don't have to delay.
I had this one attorney. I took the lesson. I never liked attorneys. This being honest, you know. But took an attorney to lunch last week who gave me the name of this bank. Bought the house. You know, after I made contact with the bank, you know, with
right.
A little personal introduction. Hey, just talk to this guy at the bank.
Yeah.
And he has a management department. You have to go through all the rigmarole of trying to get through 10 people to get to him.
Yeah.
Bought the house. We're probably going to make $30,000 on it. So I took him to lunch the other day. I said, where do you want to go? I said, Applebee's is fine. I said, great. So I thought, you know, it was going to be quick. He didn't want to leave. We had a two-hour lunch. I mean, I've never
been
to a place for 2 hours of my life having lunch.
Now, just
he,
think
he,
about...
He's so lazy. He said, well, you know, then he works with for Wachovia, does foreclosures. So I got a couple of second mortgage foreclosures. You know, would they be interesting to you? I said, yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, you never can tell what you can work out, so...
Was that two-hour lunch a good investment with his attorney?
But, you know.
Cost you what?
$17.50. I mean, you know, I'm cheap.
Man.
I can't help it.
I'll give you the $17.50 back for an introduction with him. Okay. What about this? Fire departments. Do they know where the houses with fire damage are? One of the best deals I ever did. I bought, it was a burnout, and I bought it from the insurance company who had to pay off the mortgage company because all they had was a fire policy. The people didn't have a homeowner's policy. I bought it from the insurance company. Okay? One of the best deals I ever did. Just bought it, had fire damage, and just we kept it, I think, 30 days and sold it. This was about 10 or 15 years ago. Fire departments and insurance, we had mentioned insurance adjusters before. What about home builders? There's a lot of builders now that are wholesaling houses to investors. Some of them are leasing them back, right? That's a good source. What about hard money lenders? Do they ever have to foreclose on a property? Yeah. Yeah, occasionally they do. We've been fortunate in that we're not a true hard money lender in the sense that we qualify the person so we can get them out of the hard money before they ever get into it. But a true hard money lender, they don't care about your credit. They don't care about income, debt ratio. They don't care if you can get out of it. In fact, they don't want you to. You know, it's just their way of buying a house is 70% and getting somebody else to fix it up. Right? Other banks, savings and loans, and mortgage companies. Okay, charities and nonprofits. I had a guy from United Way call me from Shelby and said, I heard from our attorney that you buy houses. I'm like, who is your attorney? He told me, and I didn't even recognize the name. But he said, you buy houses. We have a house that was left to us in a will. So now we're the owners and we need to sell it. Can you go by and take a look at it? He wanted $12,000 for it. Now I offered him $3,000 because it wasn't worth very much. But, you know, and who knows if we get the deal or not. But they don't have anything in it. Is that a good information to know that they don't have anything in it?
Right.
You got nothing in it. Anything you get out of it is bonus. Anything. Do I like to know when people inherit houses and there's no loan balance? They got nothing in it. Nothing. Okay, we talked about process service. What about eviction court? Would eviction court be a good place to find houses? We call it the landlord lounge. You go down there, landlord's coming out, just got beat up by the judge, people got an extra 30 days. How you doing? Man, it's tough in there, isn't it? Man, those tenants. Oh, what are you going to do now? Well, you know, I could help you. You want to just sell the whole place? I can pay cash. We can close in a week. I'll deal with that tenant. Don't worry about it. What do you take for it? I'll write you a check Friday. Now, that's the fast version, of course. You got to get to know them a little bit better. But, you know, that would might be a good source. Go down to eviction court. Find out who the landlords are. Is that a good time to catch them?
Great.
Now, a couple of last sources is your own database. Every time you talk to somebody, you need to be building your database. Every time you talk to a realtor, for sale by owner, a seller, an investor, home improvement contractor, a lender, private money guy, whoever, you need to be building your database. And I don't care if it's a 3x5 card. I don't recommend that with technology today, as you'll see when we get into some more of this stuff that, you know, you haven't seen before. It's really exciting. Okay, we used to use ACT database. It's made by Symantec. We used to use that. Now we use an online service called One Shopping Cart, which has a shopping cart. It has a database. It has a broadcast email. It has tremendous stuff. You can go to our website, but even better, it's in the bookmarks. You can go to our website, click on affiliates, scroll down, it's at the bottom, set up your database. It's like $50 a month. And they manage it and keep up with everything. You can have people auto-subscribe to it. Like if you've been to our website where you enter your email address and your name, they automatically subscribe to our email. It's really neat. It also automatically removes them if somebody says, I don't want to be on your list anymore. Okay? They just click reply or click the link at the bottom says to remove them. They're automatically removed. You never have to call them. You don't have to send them an email. You don't do anything. It even sends you a notification. It says you had a new subscriber sign up. Or you had a subscriber to be removed. Then all you do is hit delete. Easy, easy. That's what I'm talking about. Taking it to the next level so you can eventually get out of the loop. Okay? The last source is your investors association. Metroline REIA has been very, very good to me. I'm sure you too, Gary and Mitch, right? Absolutely, absolutely. Get involved in your local group. And Dale here is the president of two groups, Myrtle Beach and Charleston. Absolutely. Hasn't the groups been very, very good to you?
Very good.
Absolutely. Don't you agree? Don't you get a lot of people call you about deals?
Because
you're the president of the association? So get involved in your group. You try to get involved in the leadership no matter where you are, okay? No matter where you are, get involved. If there's not a group in your area, start one. I'd highly suggest that. And get out there and mingle. You start learning who the private money lenders are, who the hard money lenders are, who the people that are wholesaling properties, who you can wholesale properties to, and building your list. We have over 5,500 people in our database. Every time I shoot out an email, it goes out to 5,500 people at one time. One email. Okay, setting up your computer for searching. We're going to talk about this. Who searches online for deals? A few people. Who gets in the car and goes out to look at every deal before you make an offer? One, two. When you're first getting started, that's very important. Okay? When you're first getting started, that's very important. Go out and take a look. Go out and kick the tires, so to speak. Okay? Look around. Look at the neighborhood. Look at the area. After you've been doing it a while, you don't have to do that anymore, okay? You become familiar with the area, your buying market, and then you can send an inspector or send a rehab contractor out to do that for you. Of the houses that we're buying and selling this month, Greg's doing 7, Amy's doing 4. How many do you think I've looked at?
None.
0. I've seen pictures. I've seen pictures. I've seen the appraisal. I've seen the inspection report. I know what we're buying it for. I know what we're selling it for. I've seen the HUDs. What else do I need?
A check.
A check. You know, everybody knows what the three most important things in real estate are, right? Location. No, actually it's not. It's number 1 is make offers. Number 2 is make offers. Number 3? Make offers. Now, we all know what the three most important things in real estate are, but what's the two most important things in real estate besides that? Number one, close the deal. Number two, get a check. Remember that. Close the deal and get the check. So you don't have to look at it. Because everybody, or a lot of people in here have bought stock, right? Did you go tour the company when you bought stock? Did you meet the management? Did you check out the warehouse facility? Did you look at the market share? Did you look at, go out and look at the building? Yeah, there's their building. You based it on numbers, right? That's all real estate is. We're basing it all on numbers. So when you're starting, do the 100 house rule. Go look at 100 houses first, okay? Look at 100 houses, look at the neighborhood. Go out and physically look at least 100 deals. Please do that. Now then, what you do, and I'm going to get into showing you how to do this in a little bit, is after you get to the point where you bring other people in, all you have is checks and balances, okay? Where before we buy a deal, it either comes to me or my partner, Wendy Sweet, and we have to sign off on it. Yeah, this appraisal looks good. This inspection report looks good. Okay, we're buying it for this. We're selling it for this. The borrower is qualified. They'll have their financing or have their cash. We sign off on it, and then we set up the closing. Now, who's still in control? Now, how long does it take me to sign off on a deal?
1 minute.
About 2 minutes. And what I really do is I sign off on it, and then I say, take it back to Wendy and let her double check it. Now we have two eyes looking at it. Neither one of us ever left the office. We got 4 minutes involved in that deal. And we're going to make $5,000 to $7,000. Now that's strong when you can start doing that. Okay, let's talk about setting up your computer for searching. We use a program called Mozilla Firefox. You go to mozilla.org, download Firefox, M-O-Z-I-L-L-A. It's all in the course, .org, download Firefox, and then you simply, with Firefox, you can set up what's called tabbed browsing. We're not online, but I'm going to give you a quick shot here. Say if I want to go down and check my People Finder sites, I want to find all the people, I want to find all the sites to find the owner of this property. I can open this up in tabs. We have peoplesearch.net, we have 411.com, we have 555-1212, NetTrace, Marilogix, findtheseller.com. You don't have to open up a separate window for everything. That's the way we do our newspapers. It's that fast. Now, once you get this set up, then you simply, let me just close all of these but one. You can close.
That's called tab browsing.
Tabbed, T-A-B-B-E-D, browsing. And Mozilla and Avant Browser are the only two browsers that do that. Internet Explorer will not do it. You can also go to avantbrowser.com, and it will do it as well. Okay, newspapers. Here's what we do. We go to, and this is all in the, this is the exact bookmarks that's in the course. Go to newspapers, go to newsdirectory.com. We can't, it's not even online. I wish I could show you. But when you go to that site, you're able to click on your state, click on your area, go to that newspaper, click on classified, click on real estate, then you save that bookmark. You actually save it. Let me show you. I'm going to give you a little...
This is Larry, and I prepared this simple training tutorial to show you exactly how easy it is to import your Ultimate Buying Machine bookmarks, so you can start using tabbed browsing just like I do right away. Now before we get started, there's two things you need to do. You need to have already installed your Mozilla Firefox browser. You can do that by going to mozilla.org, M-O-Z-I-L-L-A.org, and install and download the latest version of Firefox browser. The next thing I want you to have done is already have installed your forms disk onto your computer hard drive in the My Documents section or wherever you would like to install it. Once that's done, you'll have an icon just like this on your desktop. Let's open it up, and it'll take you to your home page.
I did this so you could see, because we're not online here, so you can see the actual
now,
thing.
Once you have your browser open, simply go over to Bookmarks. click on that, click on Manage Bookmarks. Once that's open, it'll open to Bookmark Manager. Click on File, scroll down to Import, click on that, and that will open up a new window. We're going to import from a file, so click on that, and then click on Next. And then you want to find your Ultimate Buying Machine bookmarks. Double click on that, and there they are. Once it's installed, you can close this window, and you can start using it right away. You can open up all of your bookmarks individually or in a group. Let's open up this group. That's all of the auction sites. See how simple that is? On the next tutorial, I'm going to show you exactly how to customize your bookmarks for your area.
Is that easy or what? Can everybody do that?
Yep.
Actually, this tutorial is a part of the course. It shows you how to do it. Then we show you how to customize it. We show you how to do all that. That way, we are sitting at your computer without being there. We're walking you through it, exactly how to set it up and how to do it. Okay? Let me just close this out. Okay, there's the real deal. Is that pretty good info?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
Good stuff.
Will that speed it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will. Like I say, we can search 11 newspapers in about 15 minutes. 15 minutes. What we do is we save all of our ads to a little thing called online searches. We just open that up. Like I say, my computer has a virus. It might take it a few minutes to open up Word. Okay, here's our online searches that we have done. Look how many of them I have. And what we do is we just copy and paste. Just copy and paste. And put them in here. And then we put little notes below them. We leave space below them to just write in notes. You know, we made an offer or whatever. But these are all properties that I have flagged to make offers on. Or that we're in the middle of negotiating or something. So that way, you don't have to keep that whole page. You don't have to save it. You don't have to put it in your bookmarks or your favorites. You know, you just save it on a Word doc. Then you got a little place to make notes. So set you up a Word document called Online Searches. You can also put your newspaper ones in there too. The properties that you find in the newspaper, just copy the little ad, open up your Word doc or keep it minimized and paste it in there, okay?
Where did the pictures come from?
They came right off the website.
Okay, so
whenever you highlight it and copy it, it copies it right off the website. It copies the photo and everything. Everything.
And were you doing a criteria search using some of these keywords that you gave out earlier?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, exactly. When we do a keyword search or when we're just doing a browse all or search all. You know, we'll do a search of, you know, properties $30,000 to $60,000. Because I want to search 30 to 60 because I want the end value to be around 60 to 90, maybe 100. So we're searching 30 to 60, okay? Properties that hopefully need rehab, okay? Did everybody get that?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure whatever you do in marketing and lead generation and finding deals is going to be productive. I mean, make sure. And if you're going to spend money, spend it on strategic costs, not non-strategic. You know what a strategic cost is? A strategic cost is buying a flyer. A strategic cost is buying signs. A non-strategic cost is paying your bookkeeper. Okay? A non-strategic cost is buying copy paper. Okay? Spend your money on strategic cost. Things are going to get you results, okay? Let me show you one of the poorest examples of marketing that I can see. Has anybody ever gotten these before?
Yep.
Do you know what I do with them? Okay, I got my pen. Now I'm going to throw that away. Don't spend your money on marketing that's not going to get you any results. That's why I like postcards. They don't have to be open. Okay? I just had to bring that. I found that laying around. I rag on these people all the time. Okay, now let's look at some contract clauses. If there's anybody that's ever been afraid to make an offer, when we get done with this section, It ain't nothing but a thing, okay? You won't be afraid at all. Because we put... three very specific contract clauses in all of our contracts to make sure that we can get out of a deal. Very specific, very easy. We keep it low key. Now, in the course, there's literally dozens of contract clauses that you can use for any particular situation. Like if you're doing a commercial deal, if you're doing a deal that has tenants in it already, you want the deposits to transfer to the buyer. You want to make sure the tenants are current, or you want the tenants out before you move in, whatever. But we have three very specific contract clauses that we use every time. And let me give you what those are. Okay? Now, in North and South Carolina, this part is already in there, but we try to get a specific number of days. So we put in, this contract is subject to a 15-day inspection and approval of the condition of the property prior to closing. This property is subject to a 15-day inspection and approval of the condition of the property prior to closing. Now, most of your contracts already have an inspection period built in, okay? A lot of the banks want you to lower that to 5. We meet them in the middle and say 10, for the most part. Sometimes you're going to get a bank that has maybe several other people interested in the deal, and we'll get into that in a minute. But sometimes, if you can make that offer without that, as is, where is, no inspection, you have a better chance of getting that deal. So if your realtor is telling you, or the bank or whoever, that we've got some other people interested in that and we're looking for a highest and best, send your inspector out. Send your appraiser out. Do all this before you submit the offer. Yeah, we can make these numbers work. We're basically doing our 15-day inspection period in advance, right? Okay. Now we send them over a contract, our highest and best, as is, where is, no inspection, cash sale. Who do you think is going to get the property? We actually had a realtor contact us. This deal was maybe 6 or 8, 10 months ago. But the realtor, after the closing, the realtor said, Larry, your bid was $1,500 less than the next bid. Not the highest, the next one. Then there was another one after that, but they were real close. He said, but you got the deal. You know why? As is, where is, no inspection, cash sale. Is that good to know? Absolutely, absolutely. Now here's the second clause or stipulation that we use, okay? This contract is subject to an appraisal, here's the key phrase, acceptable to buyer. Well, some people say, well, what does it have to come in at? Well, I'll let you know. We have never had anybody give us a hard time about that. Never. And you know how many properties we buy. This contract is subject to an appraisal, acceptable to buyer. Now, we did have an instance, Wendy and I were buying a lake lot, and we were buying it with the intentions of putting it right back on the market. They told us they could sell it in 2 weeks, and we were going to buy it at $265 and sell it for $330. The comps didn't come in what we needed them to. In fact, the one right next to us had sold for $220 in January. So I was a little upset about that. I mean, there were some other comps around for $300, $320, $330, but they were bigger lots, main channel, level lots. This one had, you know, had a slope to it. It was in a gated community, really nice, but about $265 was about what it was worth, okay? We had in our original contract, subject to acceptable appraisal to buyer. Well, they redrew another contract, and Wendy went over to have it signed and take them the $2,500 deposit check. Wendy said, where's our appraisal contingency? She said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Let's write it in. So just being real quick, it got written in subject to an acceptable appraisal. Not acceptable to buyer. We didn't get all our money back. We got all of it but $500. But that one issue that it said didn't say acceptable to buyer. He said, all contract, and I spoke with the broker in charge, all contracts are subject to an appraisal. You know, the lender says it's got to appraise. I said, this was our contingency, not the lender's. This was a cash sale. Okay? This was our contingency. Yeah, but it's not in there. Well, where's the old contract? Well, we can't find that. So he wanted to give us half back, and we finally negotiated back and forth, and they kept $500.
Is there a timeline on that?
No. No.
So up to the last...
Up to the closing. Now, here is our third and final stipulation that always gets put in our contracts. So we never have anybody give us a hard time about it, okay? And if anybody's scared about having to buy a property, getting involved in something that's not gonna work out for you, this is the contract you need, or the stipulation you need, okay? The deposit shall be the sole remedy to seller in the event of buyer's default. The deposit shall be the sole remedy to the seller in the event of buyer's default. Now, if you got $500 put up, what's $500? That's a car payment, right? Now, can everybody go out and start making offers now if you put these three in here? Absolutely. There's no reason you can't. Because you're covered. Are those good stipulations? Anybody have another one that you feel like should be in there besides this?
Yeah, what if, do you try to put in there as a deposit, like a $5,000 promissory note? Or is that not really fly anymore?
As a deposit, put in a promissory note? No. We don't ever do that.
You just put a $500.
We just put the earnest money, yeah. Some of them want $500, some of them want $1,000. We try to get by with 500. We try to get by with the least amount as possible. Now, let me tell you another good way to steal a deal from another investor if you're doing multiple bids. And I don't mean steal literally, but if you're in a multiple bid situation, you've inspected the property, you know you don't have to get it inspected, you already got an idea of the appraisal. You can do what we mentioned about as is, where is, no inspection. But what about this? What if you did as is, where is, no inspection, and your offer is $48,500 and your deposit is $48,500? Your deposit is 100% of the price. You know you're going to buy it, right? You know you're going to buy it. You write them a check, send it to the attorney. Hey, okay, can you imagine the realtor talking to the seller? Who is the bank, the asset manager? Okay, let's see. We got three offers came in. I got one here for $52,500, subject to a 15-day inspection. It's subject to financing. They want to put 20% down. Got another one here, $51,500. Oh, okay, I got the last one here for $48,500. It's all cash, as is, where is. No contingencies, and I got a deposit of $48,500. Who's going to buy that house?
$48,500.
Me, right? Exactly.
Have you done that?
Yes, it worked. Anybody else in here done that? Yeah, two people. Didn't it work? Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, worst case scenario. The inspection comes back bad. The appraisal comes back low. Whatever. Here's the letter. The realtor's name or the seller's name. After inspection of the above referenced property, we have determined that more repairs than initially anticipated are needed. Due to the associated cost of the additional repairs, we are exercising the option to cancel the contract on the property within the inspection period. If you have received an escrow check, please refund the deposit at your earliest convenience. If you have any questions, do not hesitate to give me a call. That's a letter you send out if you want to back out of the deal. Okay? It's that simple. It's that easy. Now, if you're working with a lot of realtors, please don't do that often. Know your numbers going in, okay? If you're on the phone with the realtor, you're making an offer, the realtor says the property's worth 95 to 100, what number are you going to use in doing your analysis? 95. If they say it needs 15 to 20 in repairs, what number are you going to use?
20.
20. Hey, worst case scenario, you made more money, right? And I want to submit to you, if you get a deal that's marginal, but you're trying to build a relationship with a realtor, go ahead and close on that deal. If you can get out of it, make a couple thousand or whatever, go ahead and close on that deal. Save face with the realtor, right? You'll be surprised at the amount of future business that gets you. You will be just amazed. But don't do it without telling them it's a marginal deal. Because that takes you to the next level. Hey, this deal, the numbers really don't work, but we're trying to build a relationship here. We want to let you know we're real. We do what we say we're going to do. You know, there may come a time that we do have to back out of a deal. The inspection came back a little bit higher than we needed. The appraisal came back a little bit lower. However, because we're trying to build a relationship with you, and I want you to send me the next deals that you get on your desk, we're going to go ahead and close on this deal. Is that fair enough? Would you send me those next deals when you get them and think about me instead of some other investor? Now that'll go a long way. Okay. Now let's talk about getting into some technology. Let's talk about using answering service and call capture. Does everybody have... Where you're running ads, you've got your sign, you have everything sent to your cell phone. Does everybody do that? Man, I used to do that. I used to, and I hated it. I was answering the phone literally 30, 40 times a day. 30 or 40 times a day. I could get nothing done. I mean nothing. Now we have an answering service. An answering service. But you want to give them a script. You want to give them a script. The answering service asks them a few questions. They have their normal greeting. When somebody calls up and says, hey, I saw the sign that you buy houses. Tell me a little bit about your program or whatever. They say, great, let me get your name and number in case we do get disconnected. Okay? In case we get disconnected is a shy yes. You know what a shy yes is? Getting them to give up some information without having to commit. In case we get disconnected, I just want to be able to call you back. Okay, but now you got their name and number, right? Let me get your name and number in the event we get disconnected. Great. What's the approximate value of your home? First of all, the answering service tells them a little bit about who we are and what we do. We buy houses, we pay cash, can close in a week. Tell me a little bit about your home. They don't really elaborate, get a lot of information, you know, go into a lot of detail. So we ask them close-in questions, okay? What we're going to do, we're going to forward this information to our buyer, and they will be in contact with you. I just need to get a little bit of detailed information. What's the approximate value of your home? What's the amount of repairs? How many bedrooms and baths? And check this out. The script says, we pay cash, can close in a week. What's the least amount you can take if you can have your money by Friday? Answer service does that. The answer service. Okay, so they email us the messages. They don't even email them to me. They email them to Tina. And Tina screens them and then sends them to me. The good ones. The rest of them, what do you think happens? They get deleted. They get deleted. Okay? One little click of the X button up there. And they're deleted. So if I have a house, the value is $60,000. It's a two-bedroom, one bath. Okay? And they owe $55,000, and they're current on their payments. Let me back up a minute. A couple more questions they ask is, what's your approximate loan balance, and are you current on your payments? Okay, it's very important. If it's worth $60,000, they owe $55,000. It's a two-bedroom, and they're current on their payments, which means I can't do a short sale. Is that a save or a delete?
Delete.
That's a delete. If it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, it's worth $80,000, and they owe maybe $60,000. But they're behind on their payments. Is that a save or a delete?
Save.
That's a save. It might be a short sale deal. You might also want to... We don't have them do this because we try not to get them to ask too many questions. We don't want the people hanging up on them, okay? You just want to get minimal information, okay? Yes?
You said, what is the lease price they'll take?
Mm-hmm.
I heard on another course that they say what's the best price to take. It sounds better like you're not taking away. Do you think that would
That's a great idea. What's the best price you'll take? The only reason I wouldn't say that personally is because I think they would get confused. You know,
like you're trying to get the most money they can get out of it.
Yeah. Like they might jump it up there real high. What's the best price you'll take? You know, well, 100 would be my best. Yeah, but that's a good point. That is a good point. It's all about the perception. Okay, here is our script right here. Let me just read it to you. Hello and thank you for calling. Your company name here. How may we help you? Caller says they have a house for sale. Thank you for calling. How did you find out about us? Is that good to know? Hey, where is my marketing paying off? We buy houses, pay cash, and can close in as fast as a week. Let me go ahead and get your name and number in case we get disconnected. How many bedrooms do you have? How many baths? What's the address? City, state, if you're working in more than one area. What's the approximate value of your home? Notice I said approximate. What's the approximate loan balance? Do you have a second mortgage? Are you current on the payments? How much repairs are needed? Have you thought about the least amount? You would take for an all-cash sale and close in a week. Thank you, and we'll have a manager get in touch with you as soon as possible. Have a great day. Now, is that quick and easy, down and dirty? Then they email you the lead. They email it to you. And it comes set up. You know, it just says value, bedrooms, baths, current, yes or no. Oh, that's great. It's great. Now, we also have a script for tenant buyers. Anybody out here sell property, do lease options, tenant buyers, sell them retail? Here's the script for that. Hello and thank you for calling. And your company name goes here. How may we help you? The caller says they're calling looking to rent or to buy. Thank you for calling. How'd you find out about us? Check this out. We help people become homeowners through special programs. Oh, special program. We have first-time home buyers, down payment and closing cost assistance, rent-to-own, and owner financing programs available. Does that cover everything? That's everybody. I'm a firm believer. I don't want them to disqualify themselves. Let me disqualify you. I'll determine if they're a suspect or a prospect. Let me go ahead and get your name and number in case we get disconnected. Were you calling about a specific property? If so, which one? How many bedrooms, baths are you looking for? Are you looking to rent or own? Approximate payment you're looking to keep it around, or you're looking for, it actually says. Approximate amount of down payment you have to work with. How do you feel your credit is? Now, is that a lot easier than saying what's your credit look like? What kind of credit score you have? How do you feel your credit is? That's much smoother. Thank you, and we'll have a manager get in touch with you as soon as possible. That's great. Now, here's another source that you can use. We don't use call capture, but a lot of people out there do. Okay? To let you know what call capture service, and you can do a search online to find out companies that offer that. Call capture is basically, a sophisticated voicemail system where it captures their phone number for you when they call. Captures their phone number automatically, and it'll send it to you. Okay? And when the caller calls, you can have the voicemail say pretty much the same thing. Are you calling about selling your home, or are you calling because you would like to rent or buy a property? Press 1 if you're calling about a property for sale. Press 2 if you're calling because you'd like to buy or rent a property. Okay? And then based on which one they push, it takes them to another script, which is basically the same script as in here. They can leave a message if they want to, but if they don't, you still have their name and number. Caller ID block cannot be used with call capturing services. So even if they have a private number, you still get their phone number. Do you know that? Is that good? That's really good. So just do an online search for call capture. It's pretty much the same thing. And you can just lead them down a path where you press 1 for this, press 2 for that. You go on down here, press 1 for this. If you're looking to rent, you're looking to buy, press it. Or you're a first-time home buyer, you can do it as sophisticated or as simple as you want to. Okay? And then it comes down to the end. You can say, they can say, press 1 if you'd like to, for us to call you right now, or they can leave a voicemail, and it can page you on your cell phone and give you the number. You check your message, it gives you the number, and you can call them back right then. I mean, what if you get somebody that's standing in front of your house, looking at the number, calling, standing at the front door? Wouldn't you like to know right then? Yeah, that's great. So use the call capture. Now, this next section is really exciting to me. All about autoresponders. Anybody know what an autoresponder is? 1, 2, 3, 4? Okay. Have you ever signed up for an email newsletter or bought something or signed up for something online and immediately you got an email? It's like, wow, how'd they do that fast? Well, it's set up with an autoresponder. And the website I gave you a while, if you go to my website and go to affiliates, scroll down to the bottom to shopping cart, that has autoresponders built right in it. Anybody that's ever signed up for one of our events, you're on the bus tour. As soon as you signed up for the bus tour, it sent you an email, didn't it? It told you the exact location, address, when to show up. Depending on weather, you might want to wear a raincoat or something. I mean, you know, it's we pre-programmed that in. We set our business up to not only build our business and stay in touch, but to build our dream team with autoresponders. We set it up that way. We have a series of autoresponders. We send out. For example, when we contact a realtor, one of the things we do before we get off the phone with that realtor is we get their name and their email address. Hey, I'm all the time looking for property. Sometimes I have a special need of a particular property, or sometimes we sell a property and have some extra money and need to buy something right away.